Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Well, it may be summer recess time on paper, but Governor Christie has called a special session of the state legislature for this afternoon to do battle on taxes. We will talk about that now and whether Christie will block part of the Obama health reform law in New Jersey with the state Senate President Stephen Sweeney, Democrat from Gloucester. Democrats control both houses. Senator, thanks for giving us a few minutes as you prepare for the special session. Hello.
How you doing, Brian? And I wish I could have been there in person, but obviously, I'm on the phone for the reason you just said.
And yes, that's the behind-the-scenes story here. Senator Sweeney was going to come in person today, but the governor called this special session, so we've got a shorter time and we've got it on the phone. So the governor's version is that he wants to lower taxes and you don't. Is that accurate as far as it goes?
Well, Brian, it's absolutely not. You know, the governor, under the governor's watch, property taxes have gone up over 20%. You know, it took months to convince the governor that the issue was property taxes, not income tax. And we placed the money in the budget for a property tax cut. But, Brian, what the governor is not saying is that, you know, if I sign this bill, if we passed a bill 2 months ago, it doesn't take place till next month. You know, unfortunately, our numbers, next year, I'm sorry, Brian, the tax cut doesn't take place till next year. So, you know, unfortunately, as we were closing out this budget year, the numbers continue to get worse. You know, New Jersey's unemployment is still higher than the national average, way higher than the national average, and things aren't improving. So we did a responsible thing. We put the money in the budget, and we will pass the property tax cut plan that I authored as soon as we know the money is there at the end of the year. So, you know, I mean, this is drama that's not necessary, but this is more drama that's needed for a national stage.
Is this, then, a battle of priorities between property tax cuts and income tax cuts?
Well, if you live in New Jersey, there's not even a little bit of a battle. Property taxes are the issue, not income tax, and they have been for a long time. You know, the average, the statewide average is about $7,500 for property taxes, Brian. So when if you travel the country and you tell people that property taxes are a problem, around the country people don't see that. They see income taxes around the nation, but in New Jersey, it's the property taxes which is really the big problem. And getting the governor to agree that we need to do something on that is the most important thing, because under him, under this administration, property taxes have gone up over 20%.
To afford the lower income taxes that the governor wants, he wants less spending, and he used his line item veto to cut more than $100 million out of the budget that you and the legislature passed for the new fiscal year the other day. Do you want to make the case for any of those specific line items?
Brian, we actually gave him a budget that spent $62 million in the budget he introduced. So how about having an honest discussion? When the governor wants to make these arguments, let's be honest about the argument. We gave him a budget that spent $62 million less than the budget he gave us. He line-itemed out issues, which he has the ability to do, and we anticipated that he would line-item issues out. So I'm not going to argue what he's done or, you know, what items he's lined out. But the point is, we gave him a lower budget than the one he introduced.
One of the things I understand he vetoed is an expansion of the earned income tax credit for working poor people to get more money back. What's your understanding of that? What did you pass?
Well, we passed it. He vetoed it. And I think what I'm going to hear today is that I'm going to give this back to you under this tax cut that I'm looking for. But it's something that I had agreed with him, Brian, over approaching June. The governor and I both agreed to the earned income tax credit being restored. We did it as a standalone in the budget. He's going to link it to a tax cut plan, but it's actually something that I had advanced when we were doing this plan. So I'm very happy that he recognizes the working poor need a restoration of the cuts that he had made that, you know, we need to help the working poor. So, again, this is something that linked to a tax cut. The revenues are there come December. You know, I'm going to be advancing it. It's my bill. And, you know, Brian, I want to make it real clear. I am hoping that the numbers that he's put out are accurate. I mean, I'm actually a cheerleader for this for one reason. If the economy improves the way this governor says it's going to improve, that means a lot of people are going to be back to work. So we should all be pushing and hoping for a better economy. But that being said, we don't want to spend money and then have to cut more programs because the numbers didn't work out.
New Jersey State Senate President Stephen Sweeney, my guest on WNYC. Governor Christie calling a special session of the legislature for this afternoon. On another topic, the Obama health law, now upheld by the Supreme Court, but Governor Christie seems to indicate he may opt New Jersey out of the expanded Medicaid program that's in the law because of what it might cost the state. Here's a comment about that that the governor made on New Jersey 101.5.
I think one of the good things that comes out of the decision, if you're looking for a ray of sunshine in an otherwise, you know, cloudy day, is that it does strike down the federal government's ability to pull back Medicaid funding if you don't agree to all the strings that they attach to it. And we're going to have to see how that's administered, but I think that's a good thing.
So, Senator, as far as he actually went there was to say that he thought it's a good thing, a ray of sunshine in the Supreme Court's decision, that states can do this. Do you have any indication from him that he will opt New Jersey out of covering more people under Medicaid?
I have no indication that he's going to do that, and I obviously would hope that he doesn't. Too many people in this state, in this nation, don't have health insurance. And, you know, one way or another, it's provided through emergency rooms. And, you know, the cost of providing it is so much higher by not having proper health care. I would hope that the governor would not, you know, do that for national reasons, that he would notice that there's a lot of people in this state that need health care.
The numbers that I have are that more than 200,000 New Jerseyans would qualify for Medicaid who don't qualify today if the state goes ahead with this, and that Washington would cover 100% of the cost of the new people for the first few years, 90% after that. I also understand the state pays about $1 billion in charity care for uninsured people to the hospitals. So I don't understand the governor's numbers, but you're not going to back him up, so you're probably the wrong person to ask that question of.
Well, because I don't agree. I think that it would be very unwise for the state to pull out, because big picture, it will cost us more in the long run, because we still have to provide care to the, you know, for people going into emergency rooms instead of going to a doctor's office. But again, you know, Brian, what we're dealing with a lot here is the governor focusing on the national stage rather than the state stage. And, you know, I agree with him on a lot of things. I disagree with him on a lot of things. And this is one of the ones where I would call him out and say, you're wrong. For if you pull New Jersey out of this, you're making an enormous mistake for fiscally and just for the fact that people really do need proper health care.
I know you got to go in a minute. Did you change the nature of teacher tenure in the legislature?
Brian, we changed tenure. And I got to give Senator Teresa Ruiz from Newark a lot of credit. She met with everyone. Brian, this we hadn't changed tenure in over 100 years. And we actually have overhauled tenure, which basically it's pretty simple. It's harder to get and easier to lose. But it's something that had to be addressed to get bad teachers out of the classroom. And I want to make it clear, you know, the majority of our teachers are very good teachers. And no one should be looking at all the teachers being bad. But an evaluation process that removes bad teachers quickly is much better than the process that we have now. And Senator Ruiz, over a two-year period, did a remarkable job bringing that to fruition. And New Jersey's children are going to be much better off for it.
What does tenure mean if you can then remove the teachers who you don't think are doing a good job?
Well, what happens is, you know, obviously tenure is after 3 years in the state of New Jersey. Tenure, you have a lifetime job. You know, so if you 7 years, 10 years into the job, it was almost impossible to get rid of a teacher. Now, with the evaluation processes that we're going to have going forward, teachers aren't performing as they should be, and they get bad evaluations, we can move to remove those teachers much quicker.
So does that change tenure, or does that end tenure? Should we say tenure is over in New Jersey?
No, tenure still exists, but it's been overhauled and modernized. I would say, Brian, it's been modernized. And honestly, everyone that was involved gave. So, I mean, it was. I want to recognize the teachers' unions gave. The governor gave. I gave. We all came and compromised on something that is really going to benefit our children in the long run. And there's a group, B4K, which is another group that's advocating change, educational change. They did a phenomenal job. So, you know, the pros, you know, the people supporting tenure, people wanting to end tenure, everyone came together. And we really did a good job reforming it.
Senate Majority Leader Stephen Sweeney, Democrat from Gloucester, will be in that special session called by Governor Christie this afternoon, primarily on taxes. Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes before you go in.
Thanks, Brian.
And WNYC's Bob Henley is here now with more perspective on these July 4th week battles in New Jersey. And we'll also get into the Charles Rangel reelection that we thought was a lock last week, now being called into question in New York. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
So explain the different tax positions of Christie and the legislature. They both say they're trying to help people afford their lives. Is this about which should be a higher priority, income tax cuts or property tax cuts?
Well, it's about the governor's projections. When he came forward with his budget statement back in February, he projected very optimistic 7.4% expansion in state revenues, which would really actually be Exhibit A if that were to come to pass for an Obama reelection, because it would have the state firing on all cylinders. And it's actually twice the national average for increase in revenue that was projected around the other 49 states. What's happened since is that, depending on the what you look at, either the governor's treasurer's office or Office of Legislative Services, which is a nonpartisan research group within the legislature, we're short some $700 million to $1.4 billion in revenue. So there is just this fundamental philosophical gap that exists that's going to play out in the next couple of days. The governor believes a 10% across the board income tax cut is the way to send a signal to the rest of the country and the world that New Jersey is open for business. The Democrats argue that that inordinately favors people who earn a lot of money, because if they paid a lot in, 10% of a lot is something. I think at one point, Speaker Oliver showed that an average Speaker Oliver, the Democrat who runs the assembly, showed that it would be, for the average working family, the equivalent of like $75 or a night out at the Olive Garden. And so now the Democrats said, listen, we're going to set some money aside for property tax relief if the revenues bear this out. So that's where the conflict is.
Didn't the governor call a special session of the legislature two summers ago,
right,
specifically to try to get in a property tax cap?
Well, there is a property tax cap in place. And what's interesting is that this kind of flare-up and this increasing partisan rhetoric happens at a time that this legislature and this governor have made some amazing bipartisan strides. It's almost like a two-track narrative. Not only have they done this major deal on tenure, they also are in the process of reorganizing the state's higher education system so that Rutgers University will get back its medical school in the form of University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey. Had been part of Rutgers some 30 years ago, a medical school taken away. They're going to merge that together. There's hope that they're going to create a dynamic coalition down in the southern part of the state with Rowan and UMDNJ's osteopathic medical school. And that was something that for years people talked about doing and didn't get done. So there's really two tracks here when you talk about it.
But with respect to which taxes New Jerseyans want reduced, I mean, for years and years and years, Bob, you and I have been talking about how the number one obsession in New Jersey is property taxes.
Well, and also I think that you keep in mind the fact that there is a circumstance right now where historically property values always went up in New Jersey. That's changed in the current market since 2008. So we're in this weird situation where property values are flat or declining at the very same time that property taxes are going up,
yeah,
even if they're under the 2% cap. And that's not sustainable, to your point.
But Christie's position is, regardless of all that, it's more important to cut the income taxes on wealthier New Jerseyans because they're going to use that same savings to create jobs.
And also that it's in his mind, it's going to send a signal to corporations that are looking for a place to locate a business. I mean, we just are coming off the loss of Hoffman LaRoche, now shorthanded to Roche, a major drug maker that's been in Nutley for 80 years. That's 1,000 jobs. We've seen several thousand major, you know, huge paying six-figure jobs disappear from the pharma industry in the last few years. So there's really some concern that New Jersey needs to send a signal quickly that it's open for business, at least according to Governor Christie.
All right. On Christie and the Obama health reform law, the law would expand the Medicaid-eligible income to one-third more than the poverty line, or about $30,000 for a family of four. You'd still be eligible for Medicaid at that income level. That would be an estimated 234,000 additional New Jerseyans eligible for Medicaid, government health insurance for the poor, according to our health reporter Fred Mogul. Those folks currently uninsured. That's a lot more families who could have health insurance. And the numbers I was going over with Senator Sweeney, Washington will cover 100% of the cost of the new people the first few years, 90% after that. So what's the argument that the state can't afford it? Because Mississippi and some other states are making that argument, and apparently Governor Christie is considering it for New Jersey.
Well, as a practical matter, the governor was the second governor to veto the extension of the health exchanges, which were a critical part of that rollout.
Which is for a whole other group of uninsured
people. But that gives you a sense if he was sending signals that he was going to resist it.
That's for people who make more money, too much to qualify for Medicaid.
And so now in a situation, though, you have to go back to what happened with the ARC tunnel. That was that high-profile Hudson River Tunnel, rail tunnel that there was a lot of push for between New Jersey and New York. Governor Christie stood up against it, saying the government wouldn't cover the hidden cost overruns that would certainly come all of the big dig. And so he's like the thought leader. Then other Republican governors followed suit. Christie's played a very nuanced game here. He was not one of the states that was part of the lawsuit against the Affordable Health Care Act as a practical matter. He kind of sat back and waited to see how it came out.
It was 26 states that sued.
And New Jersey wasn't in the list.
Right.
New Jersey wasn't. Rhetorically, he beat up on it. And so it's really going to come down to the fact that, you know, we're just coming off the fact that we're in this kind of period of time where the federal government cut $1 billion to New Jersey, I think it was, because they had given us an additional money called FMAP. I don't know what the acronym is. But during the recession, so many more people needed to have some kind of help with their health care because they lost their job and lost their health care, that the state had to continue enrolling people, but then the federal government pulled the rug out from underneath. Christie will argue that there will be other costs that will not be accounted for by the federal government. But I think Senate President Sweeney makes a good case for their side by pointing out that this is, as you say, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get all these folks in the house, because there's no doubt New Jersey's charity care continues to go through the roof.
$1 billion a year, I believe, is the number, as touted by the health commissioner who was on the show last month, as an accomplishment by the state to give that much charity care funding to the hospitals.
Right. And there's also an argument that you don't know how effective that care is because it's done in a kind of spasmodic way based when someone is having an emergency as opposed to some comprehensive holistic care, which is what regular insurance offers households.
But that's part of the accounting that the Christie administration is going to have to do if they dare, might not be too strong a word, to refuse this funding to cover hundreds of thousands of additional New Jerseyans with health insurance through Medicaid. That $1 billion, a lot of that, probably not all of it, but probably a lot of it, would go away as an expense to the state if everybody was covered.
Well, and one of the things is that this is all playing out at a time where we're getting set for what looks like a very heated national campaign. So there's no doubt that this is driving the rhetoric on both sides.
And Christie wants to potentially run for president in 2016. So there is, as Senator Sweeney was indicating, and I realize when he says it, it's politics too, but Christie's aspirations to run in Republican primaries may conflict with his aspirations to get the people in his state insured.
I think the thing is here, he has risen to this national prominence by having some kind of ideological consistency and being something that where people can anticipate what is the nature of his leadership. And so there's a constant balancing that you have to do in that case. At at what point are you overbearing? I mean, we saw it today with a reporter, and if you saw, there was a mammoth water break this weekend, you know, catastrophic failure of infrastructure.
And a reporter asked a question about something else, and Christie
right.
went off
just
on him.
Just totally, you know, beat him down. And so, you know, and here he had just called a special session. So if a reporter is going to put something at risk and ask a question about a significant issue of public policy, then was the time, and he was totally dismissive.
Bob Henley with us. We're already over time, but I do want to cross the Hudson now for a minute, because this is starting to boggle people's minds in New York. Charles Rangel was projected to be the winner of his latest congressional primary by the news organizations looking at partial results on Tuesday night. Then he declared victory, and Adriano Espaillat, his chief opponent, conceded. But as votes kept getting counted, the race kept getting closer. And now it's only an 800-vote margin for Rangel out of 38,000 votes cast, and some precincts still not counted. How could that be?
Colby Hamilton has done a great job covering this for us. And one of the things that's amazing is how this is going to put a focus on the 3,000 pieces of paper, as Colby calls it, that are absentee ballots or so-called provisional ballots. That's where you walk in and don't see your name on the rolls and then fill out an affidavit in good faith saying, listen, I'm supposed to vote here. And so usually in a race, you know, that we don't even notice what becomes of those provisional ballots. In this case, the whole world will be watching.
The Espaillat campaign has now taken that vote count into court. You know that hearing
right.
is today. What's
right.
the legal issue?
Well, there is also a call for a federal monitor to go back over and look at this to see how it was done. The other thing that's affecting this is that this, whenever you have the turnover from one, you know, part of the census reevaluating and reapportioning, you have a tremendous confusion factor. That's another thing to keep an eye on. How many people showed up in good faith thinking, listen, I voted for Jerry Rangel my whole life, and all of a sudden finding out they're not in the right district? This is going to throw a spotlight on all of that.
WNYC's Bob Henley, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC coming up next. What are X events? And how may they change your life? Stay with us.